Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Have you started to address the health of your feet? And I'm not talking about getting massages or rolling the bottom of your feet. Those are all great. Listen, I love those. However, can you spread your toes? The way that you spread your fingers apart, can you spread your toes? Can you flatten your arch and lift your arch actively without crunching and squeezing your toes? Our feet are pertinent to how we move, how the rest of our body responds to the ground underneath us. And it is so crucial that we maintain the health of our feet, especially if we want the rest of our body to follow suit. And this is why we love talking about Vivo Barefoot Shoes. And if you haven't yet gotten into them, this is your opportunity to snag 20% off, because after this month, the discount is going to 15% off. So I'm telling you, get your 20% off now. Use code OPTIMAL20 at checkout and explore what Vivo Barefoot has for you, whether it's just everyday wear, whether it's really focusing on what you're wearing to the gym, running, hiking, or just getting sandals to go in. I'm telling you, Vivo Barefoot Shoes has you covered, from toddlers and first walkers all the way from kids to adults. So check them out.
So today we're talking about strength training while you're exclusively breastfeeding, or just breastfeeding in general. And I know that this topic is near and dear to you because it's what you're currently doing.
Yes.
And there are definite challenges that come up when we talk about strength training, just returning to exercise in general, but strength training while breastfeeding because of everything that's going on in a woman's body postpartum.
Yeah, and I'm excited to talk through a lot of those hormonal shifts to hopefully bring some grace to the topic as well. And I want to bring a little bit more understanding here, because I know that there is a lot of talk about getting back into your body, you know, after baby and everything. And there's no going back. We're always going forward. We're always aging. We're always changing. And now we went through this huge body change, and still our body is hormonally all over the place if you're going to be exclusively breastfeeding or pumping. And so understanding how to work with that rather than against that is so important. And I want to bring this topic to the surface as well, because I remember being in some of the mom chat groups, and people would be like, I want to lose the weight, and how can I be in a calorie deficit, and da-da-da-da. And we're not taking into account, especially if you want to be exclusively breastfeeding and pumping for however long you want to do it, there are things that we need to take into account, and we can still see body recomposition without really drastically going into like a huge calorie deficit. So I think understanding exercise for our body, understanding how our hormones are changing, and understanding how we can provide for it is really the basis of what we want to bring today.
Well, and if you're exclusively breastfeeding, being in a massive calorie deficit would not be recommended in the first place. Your body needs to be able to produce the milk for little one. And so off the bat, it's just got to be a little bit of a mindset shift where, like you said, you can get back into strength training. You can see strength gains. You can start to see composition change in your body. But if you want to do it all in a way that's healthy for both you and baby, you might have to just shift that mindset a little bit. So I think one of the most important things to understand a little bit of is all of the hormone shifts and changes that are happening in a woman's body early postpartum that might present difficulties or challenges when talking about strength training.
So whenever I talked about needed, I think I've always talked about it in the context of prenatals. And though needed has amazing prenatals that I used when trying to conceive and through pregnancy and even into postpartum while I'm breastfeeding, another thing that needed has is their pre and probiotics. And here's why it's important, especially while I'm breastfeeding. It helps to keep my immune system strong. It supports digestion and nutrient absorption. It plays a role in mood and emotional well-being, especially hello mom brain. And it supports overall postpartum recovery. So it feels like one small manageable step that gives my body a boost during this full season of life. And if you're in the same postpartum chapter, or you just want to support your gut and overall health, I cannot recommend their pre and probiotics enough. Now, if you haven't checked out Needed and all they have to offer, because it's way more than just this, head to thisisneeded.com and use code OPTIMAL and you'll get 20% off your first order. That's thisisneeded.com and use code OPTIMAL to get 20% off your first order. So one of the main hormones when it comes to lactation is prolactin. That's going to be increased because it is necessary for milk production. And yeah, we actually see higher levels of prolactin overnight. So if you're thinking, why is my baby continuing to wake up? It's actually a good thing. They're trying to keep that nipple stimulation so that you can have that prolactin continuing to build that milk supply. And it's especially crucial within those first 3 months. But I like to think of this first 6 months. This is now my second time exclusively breastfeeding. I did it with Dante for 14 months, and now we're coming up on 6 months with little Luca. I almost said little Dante. Yeah,
still hard to get their name straight.
So, you know, I like to really pay attention to that first 6 months before they're even getting food in. So really understanding that your body, you're not getting a lot of sleep. When we have that increased prolactin, it can affect our mood and energy. Some women might feel calmer, but also some women might feel sleepy after a feeding just because of those relaxing effects. So really thinking about, we're getting after it, we're trying to get back into the gym, we're getting that motivation, honoring that it might feel a little different tapping into that.
Yeah, and then we have oxytocin, which people might be familiar with. It's like the happy hormone. It's the connecting hormone. This is a hormone that's released after you have intercourse or sex with a partner. And it's also the hormone that is released when a baby is breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And this is amazing because it spikes during nursing and skin-to-skin contact, but it really enhances that bond with your baby and that maternal bond that you feel, especially while they're breastfeeding. It's also good for helping the uterus to contract down to its kind of normal size. This also may cause temporary drops in blood pressure, and again, more feelings of relaxation or sleepiness. So this, combined with prolactin causing a lot of relaxation, sleepiness, might impact your readiness to just jump right into strength training.
Or feeling that motivation to like do it every day, or you know, not wanting to relax when the baby's relaxed, or relax when you want to, especially if you're sleepy. Like this is huge. And then we're going into estrogen. Now, estrogen is a big one that we want to pay attention to. This is one of the main hormones that's really going to affect our strength, our tissue tendons, our bone health, right? Because estrogen is dropping when we're postpartum, especially if we're maintaining lactation. So this is really contributes to muscle loss when we see that decrease in estrogen or estradiol, and it's reducing our bone density. Now, we have to understand that this is typically a temporary loss as well. So we do see that your bone density tends to go back after you're breastfeeding, but if you can, you know, help your bone density while you're breastfeeding, especially mothers are getting a little bit older nowadays, right? We're having kids a little bit later in our 30s, into our 40s sometimes, and we're already hitting that perimenopause stage. So we could be impacting our bones even more. So really paying attention to this is going to be key. It also contributes to our mood swings. So having that, you know, feeling of like, I'm determined, I'm going to get after it. And then like, nope, I'm going to sleep in my bed all day instead. Yeah. And just that reduced tendon and ligament resilience, which is crucial for building strength and having that stability in our body. So we have to pay attention to especially this huge hormonal drop in estrogen.
Yeah. And three of the things you listed there, contributing to muscle loss, issues with bone density, the tendon and ligament resilience, like those are all directly, they're things that you can help mitigate through strength training, but also things that might make strength training feel a little more uncomfortable, right, or feel more difficult at the time. Next, we move into progesterone, which is decreasing in this postpartum phase. This helps maintain the pregnancy and regulates menstrual cycle. So clearly after the baby's birthed, that's why this is coming down. And some of the effects of having low progesterone is lower core temperature and metabolism. It can affect your sleep quality and mood stability. Also, just again, feeling flat, emotionally flat or tired. So a lot of these hormonal shifts I'm noticing have to do with decreasing our sleep quality and increasing our irritability or different mood swings or variations.
I think things are starting to pop off in your head as you're going through this.
This makes a lot of sense. No, you've been great. I'm usually the moody one, so I've got none of these excuses. So I don't know how that works.
Relaxin is the other one that's still present in small amounts, especially really early postpartum. And this is something that I noticed, gosh, until like 3 months almost, I feel like I finally started to notice a change where late in pregnancy, I mean, I would do hip 90-90 or different mobility exercises and I would just hear clunk, clunk, clunk in my pelvis. Yeah. And especially early postpartum, I was even just shifting in bed or coming up from laying down, I would just hear my pelvis like clunking around and making all these crazy sounds. And I'm like, when is this going to go away? But what I wanted to do in my body and what my body was craving because of this relaxin, which I don't know if I necessarily said it, contributes to that ligament laxity, right? And that joint mobility so that we could birth, but it stays around for a little bit after as well. And what I really was craving in my body was that stability, was that strength.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit about this, like early postpartum, it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to start with heavy strength training, but getting back into that core and pelvic floor stability work and really building that in just through the breath is one of the main things that I really focused on super early on. And I feel like really helped me to be able to get back into strength training safely and more stable within my body. And, you know, that's why it's so important to focus on like a form and control and intra-abdominal pressure and gradually loading and not just like, it's been 6 weeks, let me jump right back into it.
Yeah. And that with that increased laxity, that could put us at risk for injuring ourselves if we suddenly want to jump back into doing more dynamic lunges or squats or step-ups or things that our body just might not be prepared for because we may have never strength trained with this type of extra laxity. And so last hormone on the list is an increase or elevated cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And a lot of this can be because you're getting slightly less sleep. You've got a parasite feeding off of you. There's a little more stress in the household for whatever reason. And again, disruptions in sleep, cortisol is high. How do we mitigate cortisol? Make sure you're getting good recovery, rest, sleep, all of those things, eating well, hydrating, which is difficult to do when you have a new baby child. So again, high cortisol levels, it also can play a role in recovery after working out. So you might have extended or longer recovery periods needed during that initial strength training.
And that's where really tuning in and listening to your body, not just following a schedule, just to follow a schedule is so key when you're getting back into working out. And luckily, my workout partner has been really open to me being like, listen, girl, I can't do it today.
She's
like,
a fairly new mom too, so she gets it.
Yeah, she definitely gets it and I appreciate her a lot.
One thing
that you had brought up is the joint pain that can happen from relaxin. And I do just want to confirm for a lot of women, you know, maybe you had pubic symphysis pain or pelvic girdle pain during pregnancy. This is so common to still stick around even after you've had a baby. For some, they birth, they're like, oh my gosh, that pain is gone. For others, because of that relaxin hormone sticking around, it's so normal to still feel pain. And that can sometimes prevent people from wanting to get back into strength training and wanting to go further because I'm still in pain. But we have to realize it's due oftentimes to that ligament laxity and joint instability. And actually getting back into strength training is going to be the best thing that you can do for your body.
And like you said, it's not initially doing heavy barbell back squats. It's getting back to the foundation and the fundamentals, re-engaging that core pelvic floor to start and provide that stability. So after saying all of that, we're going to try and convince you that it is still an option to strength train early postpartum.
Yes. And there has been studies that don't show that breastfeeding is going to negatively impact your strength trains. We just strength gains. We just have to go about it a little bit more mindfully. So, and this is why, again, looking at all those different hormones, especially when we look at estrogen and how much it impacts our body, strength training is going to just help to support your body, your bone density, your muscle strength, that tendon connection to your bones, so much more, so that we help to reduce that temporary bone density loss.
Yeah. And again, knowing everything we listed off with the hormones, it's kind of a control what you can control situation.
Yes.
Because a lot of what we were seeing was that sleep's going to be shit, my mood's going to be all over the place, my body is not going to be able to handle this, I'm going to need more time to recover. Mm-hmm. But we're still saying that if you strength train intelligently, you're going to be able to help mitigate a lot of that. You're going to be able to help pop off different hormones in your brain that will say like, hey, I'm happy, I'm moving, I'm exercising. We're going to get some of those endorphin releases, mm-hmm. That might be able to then help with better or deeper sleep when you can get it. That might be able to help, you know, regulate some of those mood disturbances you might be having. But on the flip side, controlling what you could control, like, how am I setting up my nutrition? Again, not an easy thing to do always when you have a new little baby one, depending on if you have a partner who's there and present in the house that can help with food.
A family member.
But some way that you can set up, okay, I'm getting in some solid meals throughout the day. I'm making sure that I'm hydrating and have my water bottle close to me at all times. Maybe even putting some electrolytes in my water.
1,000%.
Jen swears by it and said that she definitely feels like it helped with milk supply, mm-hmm. with mood, with, you know, energy levels.
Just feeling hydrated, because especially early postpartum, you feel like you can't hydrate enough, but adding those electrolytes allows you to feel a little bit better in that hydration, because some people will say you need 100 ounces of water every single day. Well, it depends on your body weight, on your body type, on so many things. But if you overall want to feel hydrated, like, at least get one element packet into your water a day. And I'm talking like 32 to 40 ounces of water, drinking that element. Of course, it doesn't have to be element. We're partial to it.
We're partial to element. They're a sponsor of the podcast, but like, take a pinch of sea salt and toss it in your water too. That has a lot of sea salt, have trace minerals in it as well. Like, just something to get some of those electrolytes back in, especially while breastfeeding, you're going to be losing more than you even realize.
And then really focusing on your protein. Protein intake is going to be huge. So it's recommended about 1.2 to 1.5 grams per kilograms a day to really help support that muscle repair while also still producing that milk supply. So this is
Be Well by Kelly. Should we throw out another partner we're affiliated with? Be Well by Kelly Protein. Code Doc Jen. I don't even know.
Well, I love, speaking of her protein, I love it because it's literally three ingredients. I know exactly what it is. I know exactly what I'm consuming.
It's the best. It's
so, if obviously you want to get your protein through food as much as you can, if you need to supplement a little bit with a smoothie or something, that's something that you can use. But focusing on controlling what you can control, like Dom said, is going to be so, so valuable and so key here.
And a lot of these next points we kind of have hit on as we were going through the hormones and stuff. Like, make sure you're being progressive with your strength training, that you're starting, like Jen said, with reconnecting to that core and pelvic floor. That can be done pretty early on. I know Jen has other YouTube videos on that, starting at week one, what you were doing to start engage and, you know, reconnecting with that full abdominal canister. Of course, it's going to be slightly different for everyone based on what type of birth you had. But that's going to really set you up for having success in the early strength training and being progressive. I mean, you started our Strong Healthy Joints program, which is a program built for top-end strength training, but you weren't loading the barbell up with your heaviest weights. You were, you know, keeping the weight really low and focusing on form, focusing on, can I keep my dynamic core support engaged through these squats without feeling increase in pelvic symptoms?
Well, and I will say, so I've kind of shared whether it's looking it up. I think if you type in on, so if you just are logged on to Gen Health, which you can create a free account and use our Discover section to explore completely free. But within that Discover section, if you put cesarean, you're going to see all the videos that I have from zero to 6 weeks of what I did in those early days. If you type in vaginal, you're going to see, I think I only went to 4 weeks, but 0 to 4 weeks of what I did early on, so that you can start to understand what we're talking about when we're saying, you know, these exercises that you can do to really start to build in that core awareness, that intra-abdominal pressure, protecting. And we all have diastasis recti by the time that you're pregnant. That's in a, seen in 100% of pregnancies. Will it last? Depends on genetics and tissue density. So many factors, but really starting to pay attention to all these things can really help. Like Dom said, we're going to have other YouTube videos that I'm going into a little bit more detail on all of those. But what I will say outside of that, after the 4 weeks, I went right into the HIIT plan and the core plan on Gen Health. So prior even to starting into Strong Healthy Joints, I started with the HIIT plan, maybe even earlier, around 2 weeks, because that gets a lot of good mobility around it, active mobility, stability work around those hips, beginning to tap into some core. And then I did the core plan starting around 4 weeks. And then around 6 weeks, I started the full body low impact plan. So these are all plans that we have on Gen Health and all things that I started with. So again, I did the hip, the core, and then full body low impact prior, which has exercises and strength training, but at a lower load prior to going into Strong Healthy Joints. So, and I don't think I started Strong Healthy Joints until about 12 weeks postpartum. So really building into that foundation was super crucial prior to even loading a barbell more, or, you know, getting into some of those heavier lifts. So really being progressive about this. And this is why exercise doesn't start at 6 weeks. Exercise starts at day one with breath work and stability work and what you're retraining. And something I noticed at like 3 to 4 weeks I had to start myself was just doing body weight lunges, because I needed to take my baby from the ground to standing up and feeling like I could do that more powerfully. Like my legs felt so weak. It was hard to really engage my core and lift and be able to feel supported in that. So I actually started body weight lunges at like 3 to 4 weeks postpartum. Again, low repetitions even. And then if I wanted to make it a little bit harder, sometimes I did slider reverse lunges where I'm really focusing on stabilizing through my front leg and just sliding my back leg foot in and out as I'm going into that lunge, and that made it a little bit more difficult. But again, where I was focused more on the function. I'm trying to get my baby off the ground and feel more stable and strong and being able to do that. So I'm adding intentional exercises to be able to support my core and my pelvic floor as I'm starting to strength train.
Yeah. And there's your plan. Everyone now has a plan moving forward. But no, it's different for everyone.
Yes.
And where this worked perfectly for you, some people might not feel ready or be ready in their body to start on that exact timeline.
Exactly.
But point being is there is a path to return to strength training, to do so thoughtfully so that you can continue to, you know, feel like you're gaining that strength back in your body. Maybe you will start to see some body composition changes, but we encourage you to not make that the focal point of why you're doing this. Instead, make the focal point feeling strong and functional in your body and control those things that you can control, the nutrition, the rest and recovery when you can, making sure you're taking a progressive approach to this, and also prioritizing the timing with when you're breastfeeding versus when you're going to potentially be in the gym doing some of that strength work.
And one last thing that I want to touch on personally, we saw all the hormonal changes and shifts that can happen to mood, right? And you're already probably not getting an amazing sleep and you might be a little bit more stressed. So one thing that I 100% acknowledge and I'm grateful to have is accountability. I typically don't work out unless my workout partner, Emily, comes and works out with me. Like I fully admit, like sometimes her and I will be like, oh, we can't make it today, but we'll do something separately. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
But sometimes we both are like, no, I didn't work out. So if we're like being really honest, if you need more support, what does that look like? Is it following a program that checks off your progress and that feels good for you? That's what Gen Health does for you. It checks off the day. If that is something that like helps to keep you motivated, that's a great resource. if it's asking a friend or a family member, whether it's, you know, checking in, did you do your workout today? Or can you come over? Or whatever it may be, like having some accountability in some kind of aspect when you're feeling unmotivated, because trust me, you're not going to have the motivation to follow something. It's so helpful. And now I've been able to get back to, I think I'm doing 3 pull-ups at a time, which is amazing. At a time, I should say 3 pull-ups total, but from none to 3 pull-ups. So I'm definitely gaining my strength. I'm getting back into it and I'm feeling stronger. My lifts are getting heavier without feeling so detrimental to my body. So I know I'm recovering well, I'm feeling better, I'm gaining that strength. So it is possible.
And you still have the milk supply.
And I still have the milk supply, which I'm very grateful. And I also started my period at 3 months postpartum, which is just such a ripoff. So don't believe everything about exclusively breastfeeding means you can't get a period. Lies. Happened twice to me. But I will say there's ways that you can find that motivation through other people and through more support, because that's what really this postpartum time is about. It's about support and having that those people, that tribe to kind of get you through. Thanks so much for listening. Of course, if you know someone else who is in this similar season or approaching this season, maybe they're pregnant right now, please pass this episode along. I think we're in this together, and the more that we can help each other out, understanding our bodies a little bit more and how we can better serve them is so important. So of course, if you want to get in on any of those plans that I talked about, use code OPTIMAL10. That's going to give you a discount on our yearly membership that's already discounted a bit. You can get a bigger discount and hit all of those different plans and programs that I talked about, but you can also join Strong Healthy Joints, which gives you lifetime access for a one-time purchase, and using code OPTIMAL10 gets you a discount on that. If you have any questions about anything else, please reach out to us. We're available and we want to hear from you.